بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، today it is the 40th hadith on the call to Islam, and it is hadith number 16 from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who narrated from عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما, who said, I heard Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم say, إنما الناس كالإبل المئة لا تكاد تجد فيها راحلة. The author put a subtitle, The Cause of Defects. إنما الناس كالإبل المئة لا تكاد تجد فيها راحلة. Indeed, people are like camels. Out of 100, you will hardly find a single one suitable to ride. This hadith, which is reported by Bukhari and Muslim, is very essential, very important hadith. Its importance springs from the fact that among people, this is a reality, that you will hardly find people who are qualified, people who are efficient to carry out certain tasks. So those people whom you can rely upon are very, very few. Just like you have herd of camels, 100 camels, but when you want to have one, to find only one among out of the 100 to suitable for riding, you could hardly find any one among the, there you have 100 camels. So similarly, you have many people, and but to find a person who is suitable for the job, whom you can rely upon after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very difficult. So this hadith talks about this fact, that you have many people around you, but when you can hardly find anyone whom you can rely upon after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom you can delegate to carry a certain task which really needs a person who is qualified, a person, a man of principle. Are you following? Which is the case actually. For instance, now, look around you and see the Muslims, Muslim Ummah, the population of Muslim. The population of Muslim is now almost 1.5 billion or maybe more. Okay, out of 1.5 billion, how many scholars do we have? How many scholars whom we can say those are real scholars, the Ummah can refer to them? Only very few. Handful. So this hadith talks about this fact. Yes, when you look to the number, mashallah, great number. But when you look for the proper man, the proper person, the suitable one, you can hardly find any. And this is the dilemma actually. The Ummah is now in a situation which is really very sad. So what should we do in this case? Though the hadith made this statement which is factual, but actually the hadith also draws our attention that we have to try to overcome this defect and try to find people whom we can rely upon after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom we can assign them to carry the most difficult tasks that they should shoulder. We should look for the people who should shoulder the responsibility. So this is incumbent upon us Muslims to work hard to find such caliber of people who are capable to shoulder the responsibility and the obligations towards their Ummah. Is this clear to everyone? So that's why the Prophet ﷺ gave this parable, similitude, by giving this example, like one had, because the Arabs, they know the camels. So he said, you have 100 camels, but you can hardly find anyone to ride. So similarly, people like that. The same thing around you, look, take it on a smaller scale, your children. Maybe you have 10 children. And all of them now are adults, but you can hardly find one who is, you can say, he is the man of the family. I can rely upon him. I can sleep peacefully. And I can, if I die, I know he is going to look after his brothers, he is going to look after his sisters, etc. But you don't find that. Take organizations, da'wah organizations, the same. The head of the organization is everything. It is show of man, one man show, that's it. Many of the organizations, they are one man show. If that man died, passed away, finished, the whole organization collapses. Which is very dangerous. When and that organizations, it becomes only one man runs it, that's it. How about the rest? They are just like featherheads. Only you can use them just counting heads, that's it. But you cannot rely upon them, you cannot depend on them. So this is the dilemma. In wherever you take it to your family, to organization, ministry, to whatever, then you can magnify the scale and take it and apply it to the whole Ummah. Am I clear, brothers and sisters? This is really scary. So this needs, this necessitates an awakeness. We have to wake up and work hard and put our hands together and try to find the people who are really qualified, that caliber of men who will shoulder the responsibility and fulfill their obligations towards their Ummah. I hope this hadith is clear to everyone. Hadith number 17. How to rectify the defects? Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-Din al-Nasiha." الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة. قلنا لمن يا رسول الله؟ قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the deen is nasiha, piece of advice or sincerity. The deen is nasiha, sincerity. The deen is sincerity or advice. We asked to whom, O Messenger of Allah? He replied, to Allah, to his book, to his messenger, to the leaders of the Muslims and their common folk. Reported by Muslim. Now, this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the whole deen is the nasiha, which is to give piece of advice. And he repeated and this three times, الدين النصيحة, الدين النصيحة, الدين النصيحة. Then the Sahaba, they said, okay, whom should we advise? Whom should we give our nasiha to? He said, first of all, this nasiha is for Allah. To Allah. Do you advise Allah? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you abide by the law of Allah. You abide by the injunctions and the all the divine teachings of that were revealed and came to you from Allah. That's the meaning of nasiha lillah. So nasiha for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that you stick to the law of Allah and you follow the divine instructions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained. That's the meaning of nasiha for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To his book, what does it mean? The nasiha for Allah's book, it means to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand it, to teach it to others, to defend it, to defend the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against all the false and the allegations that the enemies of Islam raise from time to time. So that is from the nasiha. So when you refute the allegations which are raised by the Orientalists, by the missionaries, etc., that is also part of the nasiha. That's the meaning of nasiha for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you defend the Quran by learning it, teaching it, acting upon it, upon its instructions, and defending it against its enemies. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? So we need to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand Islam. Because there are many, many now who they call themselves Muslims, not only Orientalists. The Orientalists are behind the scenes and now they have come up with their students now are doing the job for them. Though their names are Muslim names, but they are the students of the Orientalists and they are on the front and they are elevating them, the Orientalists and the enemies of Islam, they elevate the those students and try to make them tyrant figures or reformers. I was reading one article, they said about talking about one person and they call him, is a reformer. Reformer of what? Reforming what? He's a reformer. When this person doesn't know the basics of Islam and he makes a lot of blunders. So this is the trend, this is the plan. They did this in the past. The Orientalists. They brainwashed many Muslim youth and then they put them in academic positions and they are doing the jobs of their masters and their teachers. So the same thing is happening now. So unless and until we know the deen, we'll not be able to defend the deen and to expose those guys who are disguising themselves under the pretext that they are reformers, that they love Islam, they want the people to understand Islam correctly, as if Islam was never been explained, so it is now the role now to explain Islam to the people. So how to expose those people? If you don't have the ilm, if you don't know in the first place the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand it thoroughly, you understand the Quran, and then you read what the scholars said about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all these things they pop up from time to time or raised from time to time are not new. The most of these issues were refuted in the past, but they just keep renovating them and redecorating them and try to present them in a different way from time to time. So the nasiha for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing to know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know Islam, and Islam is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what the sahaba understood and the scholars of Islam understood from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the nasiha for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading it, understanding it, memorizing it, and defending all the allegations of the enemies of Islam. Then also to his messenger, what is the nasiha? What is nasiha to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is again the nasiha here in this context. It talks about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understand it, practice it. You understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the science of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the efforts of the scholars of hadith that they have exerted throughout the centuries, and how they protected the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you know how to defend, you'll be able to defend the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you know. If someone says, well, this hadith I will not accept it, says, why you will not accept it? Well, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to you, but it makes sense to me, and it makes sense to millions of scholars, not you. So there is something wrong with you and with your understanding. So it's not left to you. There is a criteria you need to follow to judge the hadith. It's not your gray matter, what you think. There is a criteria you have to follow. And this criteria is set by the experts, and you're not an expert. So you should respect yourself and let the experts talk. You have nothing to say. You shut up. Because this is none of your business. You are not the experts of this field. Just why we contradict ourselves? When it comes to the secular knowledge, we respect the specialities or the specialization. We respect that. If I go to a doctor, I respect whatever he says, and I don't argue with him. And if I try to argue with him, for instance, to say, why you prescribe this medicine for me, this doctor will just have a glance at me, he will look at me, and that's it. That is a message for me. What does it mean that? It means, maybe he might say, oh, are you a doctor? That question in its, by itself is the answer. Are you a doctor? I say, no, I'm not a doctor. So why are you arguing with me? You don't know what medicine is good for you, what medicine is bad for you. So I am the doctor. I am having the final say here. So you keep quiet. You just go to the pharmacy, take the medicine, and start using it. And I have to say, sorry, sir. My apology. This is what we do. When it comes to the deal with the same thing, when I am arguing, if there is talking to an expert in any field, an engineer or in any other field, we say, okay, ask the experts and whatever the experts say. So, but when it comes to the deal, everyone becomes an expert. Everyone wants to talk about the deal. SubhanAllah. And this is the problem with many Muslims. This is the problem with many Muslims. This is the sickness. And the sickness of DR, you know the meaning of DR? This little title, DR, the doctor, this is the sickness of the Muslim. If you have that title, that's it. If you have DR, then you are me, that means you are the Imam of the Muslims. Because he is a PhD holder. So what? That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. So we have to understand that there are experts. When it comes to the deen, the experts are the ones who are authorized and entitled. Some might say, well, in Islam there is no room for clergymen. Yes, we don't have clerics or clergymen. That's true. But we have scholars. We have jurists who spent all their lifetime studying the deen. So we have experts. So if you want to become a scholar or imam, the door is open, but you start from KG1. Go to the kindergarten. Forget what you have, your education. Forget it! Your secular education. Forget that you are a student of Socrates or Plato or Aristotle. Forget that. Go and sit in your butt in the study circles and learn your deen from the people of knowledge. Then you are most welcome. Before that, no way. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? The reason I am emphasizing in this point, because it is a sickness among the Muslims. There is a French philosopher. I will not mention his name. He became a Muslim and not through the Orthodox or mainstream Islam. He came a Muslim because he is a philosopher through the words of Ibn Arabi, the pantheist, the Sufi. Anyway, the scholars, they accepted that. But then he started to make blunders. He started to propagate the idea of what is known as Abrahamic faith. The Abrahamic faith, that means Jews, Christians, Muslims, all are one. So one of the Islamic conferences he was invited, because the scholars, they realized that now this guy, he thinks that he, because he was a philosopher before, now he can also become the same thing, can occupy the same status in Islam. So they told him, listen, this happened in Algeria. He said, okay, when you become a Muslim, we like that, but now you should start learning Islam from the beginning. Forget that you were a philosopher one day. You have to start learning your deen. And they wrote for him 100 questions.
or at 100 questions, and they asked him to answer. And he couldn't. He said, okay, so you should know your limitations. If you want to become a scholar in Islam, you have to meet the prerequisites. There are prerequisites. If I want to get a degree in any field, there are reasons. And there are prerequisites that I have to meet. So you have to start learning your deen. When you are qualified, then our platforms will welcome you, are open for you. Before that, no way. And this is what we should do with everyone. Not because he is a good speaker. This is a sickness, another problem with the Muslims. If you are an influential speaker, if you are crowd puller, if you can mesmerize the audience because of your eloquence, finish, you are imam. Subhanallah. What a nonsense. Just because of the eloquence. Because the people, they don't know Islam. They don't check the content. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he feared this. And he said in the hadith, أَخْشَى مَا أَخَابَ عَلَى أُمَّتِي عَالِمٌ أَوْ خَطِيبٌ عَلِيمُ اللِّسَانِ, which means, the meaning of the hadith roughly, he said, what I fear most for my ummah is a speaker who is very fluent, eloquent, who can make the falsehood, the battle, appears to the people as if it is the truth. So my advice for you, brothers and sisters, is to learn the deen. Then you will know who is saying the truth and who is just trying to mislead you and take you to the hellfire. Is this clear to everyone? So when he said here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the nasiha to his messenger, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, study the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the science of hadith, and there are many books on the internet, you can download them. They teach you how we accept the hadith and how we reject the hadith, and what is the criterion of accepting and rejecting the hadith. It's not left to someone's satisfaction or someone's common sense. No, there is a criterion. This criterion has to be fulfilled. We apply it and follow it. Then he says, وسلم, then also give the nasiha to the leaders of the Muslims. And this is another point which is very, very important, and many Muslims they have neglected giving the nasiha to the rulers. And the nasiha to the ruler is not public. It's not public. You should. And this is actually the duty of the ulama, the scholars. They should approach the ruler and give him the nasiha. Not in newspaper or on the forums. No, that's not Islamic. The Prophet ﷺ said, you take the hand of the ruler and you give him the nasiha between you and him. Not on Friday, in the pulpit, you try to incite and provoke the mob or the masses against the ruler. This is not the right way. This is not the prophetic technique. This is not the prophetic technique and the prophetic way of giving the nasiha.
So we have to understand that very well. And you find someone who is, attacking the rulers openly and publicly, he should know that he is not from among the people of knowledge. He is not a scholar. He is ignorant. Because that will not help. And that's not the right approach. Then he said to the leaders of the Muslims, you have to give them nasiha. And he found some of the fools, they say, why the scholars are quiet, or they are silent, they don't give nasiha. Who told you that they don't give the nasiha? Or you want the scholar to contact you and to tell you, I'm going to the ruler, I'm going to give him the nasiha. Or you want him to come out and call for a press conference to let you know. That's what you want. The scholars, they give the nasiha. And if the rulers, they don't accept it, they will be held accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the scholars, they did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to do. To the leaders of the Muslims and the common folk. The common folk, that means the layman. We have also to give nasiha to the layman. Through the khutbah on Friday, through the study circles, we have to educate the masses. The problem nowadays with the Muslims, the awam, the commoners, the majority of Muslims today are commoners, laymen. And they don't know the basics. The basics they don't know. And yet you find them, they are talking about issues above their heads, when they don't know the basics of their deen. Or you find some of the da'is, or the callers, or the propagators, they address the masses, the Muslims, and they want them to know issues that they're not interested in, when they don't know their basics. And the same guy who is addressing the masses, the Muslims, he himself also lacks the profound and the deep understanding of the deen. He lacks that. And this is the dilemma, really. We don't know our priorities. We don't know how to prioritize things, and which one comes before the other. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَقْتَةَ اللَّهِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ وَتَعَالَى guide all the Muslims. Is this clear to you, brothers and sisters? Hadith number 18. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه said that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن من عباد الله عبادا ليس بأنبياء يغبطهم الأنبياء والشهداء قيل من هم لعلنا نحبهم قال هم قوم تحابوا بنور الله من غير أرحام ولا أنساب وجوههم نور على منابر من نور لا يخافون إذا خاف الناس ولا يحزنون إذا حزن الناس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, as Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه reported, indeed from amongst the servants of Allah there are servants who are not prophets, whom the prophets and martyrs will envy. It was asked, who are they, so that we may love them
He replied, they are a people who love each other due to Allah's right, due to Allah's light, not because of relationship or kinship. The faces being light upon pulpits of light, they do not fear when the people fear, nor do they grieve when the people grieve. Then he recited, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. No doubt, verily the friends of Allah, no fear shall come upon them, nor shall they grieve. This hadith is reported by Tabari in his tafsir, and Ibn Hibban in his sahih, and it is authentic. Now, here the Prophet ﷺ, this talks about loving one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we lack as Muslims. Loving one another for the sake of Allah. You know that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, من أحب في الله وعطى في الله ومنع في الله فقد استكمل الإيمان. من أحب في الله وأبغض في الله وعطى في الله ومنع في الله فقد استكمل الإيمان. But if you love for Allah's sake, and you hate for Allah's sake, and you give for Allah's sake, and you withhold for Allah's sake, then you have completed the ranks of Iman. So loving one another is an act of worship. And hating also, love and hate. Nowadays they don't want to mention this word hatred. Only love, love, love. No, we have love and we have hatred. We love whom Allah loves and we hate whom Allah hates. I cannot reverse. I cannot love whom Allah hates and hate whom Allah loves. Because if I do that, then I will be with whom I love. And those whom I love and Allah hates them, they will go to hell. So I'll be with them. So you choose. Hello? So if you love whom Allah hates, you will be with them, as the Prophet ﷺ made it clear. المرء مع من أحب. You will be with whomever you love. You love dictators, tyrants, disbelievers. You love Fir'aun. You will be with them. So you choose for yourself. But if you love whom Allah loves and you hate whom Allah hates, then you will be with those whom Allah loves, and that is the Jannah. Is this clear to everyone? So if you find people they want you to love whom Allah hates, say, okay, you go ahead. I don't want to be with them. Alhamdulillah, I don't want to be with them. You go with them, no problem. It's your business. Because we know that we only love whom Allah loves and we hate whom Allah hates. And Allah made it clear, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. So Allah made it clear. Allah made it very, very clear. He said, you will never find a people whom sympathize with those who contends with the Prophet, who opposes the Prophet, who hates the Prophet, even if they are their fathers, even if they are the kindred, if they are their children, their tribe. No, they will not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled their hearts with love, with His love. So we have to understand this. This is very essential issue. The issue of wala and bara. You love whom Allah loves and you hate whom Allah hates. So to hate for the sake of Allah is an act of worship indeed. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. So if you consider this is extremism, whatever, call it whatever you want to call it. If this is extremism, then Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is one of the extremists. because we are only following his instructions. Not only his instructions, and this is also the teachings of all the prophets. All the prophets. That you love whom Allah loves, and you hate whom Allah hates. So this is the standard, this is the criteria which every Muslim should follow. So here, loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, which is many Muslims, this is the ummah, the whole ummah, they lack this loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this beautiful hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ عِبَادَ لَيْسَ بِأَنْبِيَا. From among the servants of Allah, there are servants who are not prophets. They are not prophets. But yet, the prophets, they envy them. And the martyrs envy them. Why? Because they see the lofty status of such people in the Jannah. So when the Sahaba, they heard this, they said, who are they, O Prophet of Allah? Just mention them so that we will love them, or we might love them. So at least we'll love them. If we are not one of them, we'll love them. And because you know what the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith? A man came and said, O Prophet of Allah, sometimes, you know, we love people, but we cannot compete with them in righteousness. Their righteousness and good deeds are more than ours, but nevertheless we love them. So what will be our reward? You know what the Prophet said? He said, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahad. You will be with whom you love. The Sahaba, they said, we rejoiced when we heard this hadith. We felt very happy. Because this hadith says, you just love the person whom you want to be with. So Anas used to say, I love the Prophet ﷺ, I love Abu Bakr, and I love Umar. So that you will be with the people whom you love. Though your deeds are not equal to their deeds, but because of your sincere love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you in their company. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and the martyrs and the righteous. Ameen. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here in this hadith, he started explaining to the Sahaba, who are they, about this group of people whom the prophets and the martyrs will envy them. He said, "Hum qawmun tahabu bi nurillah." He said, they are a people who love each other due to Allah's light. What is this Allah's light? Of course, it is the light of Iman. The light of Iman which fills their hearts. So that's why they love one another. Because of the Iman. Because of this Allah's light. The Iman which now illuminating their entire being. So they love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find some ignorant Muslim, they say Allah is light. Allah is not light. And they say Allah nur as-samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. So complete the ayah. Where you stop? Surah An-Nur. مَثَلَ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ. The likeness of his light is like the mishkah. A candle or a lamp in a niche. So is Allah like a light in a niche? Hello? But Allah gave this parable or this similitude to denote and to indicate the light of the iman in one's heart. Because if you put a candle in the niche, which is a recess in the wall, which will protect the candle from being put out, the light of the candle, so you can see that little candle now illuminates the whole recess and the whole niche. So the iman in your heart will illuminate all your entire being. And who put that light into your heart? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah nur as-samawati wal ard, it is Allah is the granter of the light of iman in the hearts of the angels who are the inhabitants of the heavens and the inhabitants on earth. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Mi'raj, when he was asked, did you see Allah? Of course there is a Sufis, they use one hadith which is fabricated, spurious. It says that لم يسعني سمائي ولا أرضي ولكن وسعني قلب عبدي, which means neither my heavens nor the earth can limit me or can contain me, but the heart of my servant. And the Sufis, they say only the heart of the servant can, subhanallah azim, can contain or accommodate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyhow, no doubt it is kufr, but they are ignorant fools, they don't know what they are talking about, and this is of course because based on a spurious and fabricated hadith, and they don't know the hadith. Many of them, they are not aware of the science of hadith and isnad, etc. That's why the most of the ahadith they are used by the Sufis are either very weak or fabricated. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, did you see Allah? He said, نورٌ أن أراه. In another narration, حجابه النور. So some of people of bid'ah, they say, see, the Prophet said Allah is نور, نور أن أراه, it's light, how can I see him? And they forgot the other narration which explains حجابه النور, they were screens of light. Not Allah light, screens of light. They were there. So I didn't see Allah. So Allah is not light. Okay? Is this clear to everyone? Okay. So here the Prophet is telling us that they love one another or each other due to Allah's light. This is the light of iman. I love you because of the iman you have in your heart. So that's why we love one another. Not because of relationship or kinship, but we love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The faces being light, and this is what will happen to the mu'mineen on that day. The faces will be light. The faces because of the iman. The faces are shining, radiating light. Upon pulpits of light, they are sitting upon minbars, pulpits of light. And Allah grants them security and safety. They do not fear when the people fear. When the people fear on that day, they do not fear. Nor do they grieve when the people grieve. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read the ayah.
أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
The completion, the ayah after that, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ.
Those who believe, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ, verily Allah's awliya, Allah's friends, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, no fear shall come upon them, or nor shall they grieve. Who are they? Allah's awliya, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they were righteous. Imam Shafi'i said, the awliya are the scholars. Al-awliya, al-ulama'uhum awliya'ullah.
The scholars are Allah's awliya.
And then he said, إِلَّمْ يَكُنَ الْعُلَمَاءُ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ فَيَعْلَمْ لِلَّهِ وَلِيًّا.
If the scholars are not Allah's awliya, I don't know any wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So the scholars and the students of knowledge, etc., these are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But the sufis, they tell us, no. This is not the wali.
The wali is the one who flies in the sky, walks in the water, eats charcoals. This is the wali.
The one who performs miracles, this is the wali.
Imam Shafi'i said, إذا رأيتم الرجل يطير في الهواء أو يمشي على الماء فلا تصدقوه حتى تعرضوه على الكتاب والسنة.
The Prophet, Imam Shafi'i رحمه الله, said,
if you see a man flying in the sky or walking in the water, don't believe him till you check him against the Kitab and Sunnah. See, is he upon Kitab and Sunnah?
If he is upon Kitab and Sunnah, and some supernatural thing happened, it is what we call karama, something natural. Like Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami, he walked in the water, we know that.
The whole army walked in the water, the whole army. Abu Hurairah said, only the hooves of the horses were wet.
The horses walked in the water, we know that.
And this is a karama happened for Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami, rahimah, radiallahu anhu.
We believe in that.
We Ahl Sunnah, the Salaf, we believe in that. In volume number 8, in Mujmal Al-I'tiqad Ahl Sunnah, the summary of the belief of Ahl Sunnah of by Imam Lalaka'i, volume number 8 is completely dedicated for the karamat.
So we don't reject the karamat. We accept that.
Because the Quran says that about Maryam alayhi salam.
In Surah Al-Imran, كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا.
Whenever Zechariah visits Mary in the sanctuary, he finds sustenance, fruit.
They say, in summer, the fruit of winter. In winter, fruit of summer.
So he asked her, who brings you? Who gives you these things?
Said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ.
Allah provides for whom he wants, without measure.
So, and no doubt Mary was not a prophetess, because no prophetess in Islam, all the prophets are male, but this is the karama.
So we are not against the karamat.
But the condition that a person who is following Kitab and Sunnah,
but if a person not following the Kitab and Sunnah, and something supernatural is done upon his hand, then that is of course a test for him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course this person is Jews with the jinn, and you can see this in India. If you go, the Hindu, they do things like that, unless you consider the Hindu also Allah's awliya.
Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he wrote a book called Al-Furqan, the criterion, Al-Furqan, between Awliya al-Rahman, Awliya al-Shaytan, the criterion of the distinguisher between Allah's Awliya and the Shaytan's Awliya.
So they are Allah's friends and Satan's friends.
And the reason behind the compilation of this book, that there was a man in Syria, in Damascus, there was a mountain called the mountain of Dacion, and this man would jump from the top of the mountain and he will land on the plain of the mountain. On the plain of the mountain, just like Superman. And the people would say, oh, he is one of Allah's friends, Wali. Ibn Taymiyyah said, yes, he is Wali of the Shaitan. And that's the reason behind writing that book. So the real awliya, are the scholars, the ulama, not the one. Ask now any, as one of the mashayikh said, Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi, Habibullah, said, you go to any Muslim country, in the airport, ask the driver, the chauffeur, tell him, I want to visit a friend and see what will happen. He will take you to a Muslim, to a tomb, to a grave. So this is the meaning of the wali in the minds of many Muslims. In the minds of many Muslims, that the Muslim, the tomb where people perform tawaf and where it has in the kafa, like the Kaaba, this is the wali. He will not take you to the scholars or the ulama and say, this is the wali I want you to visit. So the concept of the wilaya has changed with A'udhu Billah. So the wali is the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, those who believe and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why there is a famous statement known among the scholars, من كان لله تقيا كان لله وليا. Whoever fears Allah, then he is one of the Allah's friends and Allah's awliya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the taqwa. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you brothers and sisters for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.